गणेशाय नमः। ओम श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। सच्चिदानंद रूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादि हेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्री कृष्णाय वयं नमः। श्री कृष्णाय वयं नमः। ओम वांग मे मनसि प्रतिष्ठिता, मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम्, आविरावीर्मेधि वेदस्य मानिस्थः, श्रुतं मे मा प्रहासीहि अनेनाधीतेन अहोरात्रान् संदधामि, ऋतं वदिष्यामि, सत्यं वदिष्यामि, तन्माम् अवतु, तद्वक्तारमवतु, अवतु माम्, अवतु वक्तारम्, अवतु वक्तारम्। ओम शांति शांति ही शांति ही। सदा शिव समारंभाम शंकराचार्य मध्यमाम अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंताम वंदे गुरु परंपराम श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम आलयम करुणालयम नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरम लोकशंकरम शंकरम शंकराचार्यम केशवम बादरायणम सूत्र भाष्य कृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्ति भेद विभागिने व्योमवत् व्याप्त देहाय श्री दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्री दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्री दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्री कृष्ण गोविंद हरे मुरारे, हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेवा, जिह्वे पिबस्वामृतमेतदेव, गोविंद दामोदर माधवेति, हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति, हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति, हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति। ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराण मुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसंदधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं। नमोस्तुते व्यास विशाल बुद्धे हुल्लारविन्दाय तपत्र नेत्र, येन त्वया भारत तैल पूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयः प्रदीपः, प्रपन्न पारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रै कपाणये, ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः। सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः, पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत। वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं, देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वंदे जगद्गुरुं, कृष्णं वंदे जगद्गुरुं। भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गांधारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्णा खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकःकेशवः पाराशर्यवचः सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानककेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितं लोके सज्जनषट्पदैरहरः पेपीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजं कलिमल प्रध्वंसि न श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः सो फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल वेलकम यू ऑल for today's live session at Bangalore. I have the opportunity to meet you all in person. Many of you are, you know, seasoned podcast listeners of this whole thing. So it is a great opportunity to see you all. So today's topic, which is we have taken up, is overview and essence of Bhagavad Gita. Okay. Now, why I picked up that topic, you must have been listening to the podcast, which I'm taking by chapter, verse by verse. So that will be covered in the podcast itself, but I thought it's a great opportunity for me to meet you all and give you why Bhagavad Gita. What is the background of Bhagavad Gita? Why Bhagavad Gita, even though it is given in Dwapar Yuga, so many years, thousands of years before, how it is relevant even today in our current situation? We are not facing Mahabharat war the way Arjun faced it, right? We are not standing in a battlefield ever. By any chance, even though we may have a small battles in life, that's a different thing, but technically we are not in a battlefield. So why Bhagavad Gita is, what is the relevance of Bhagavad Gita for us? So in this overview, what I want to do is, I want to take a little bit background of, you know, the characters in Mahabharat, a few of the characters in Mahabharat, which are critically important for us to understand before we understand the context of Bhagavad Gita. So primarily, there are two main people in Bhagavad Gita. What? Bhagavan Krishna and Arjuna, right? And we know the situation which is given to Arjuna, where he was and what kind of a situation is there. But before that, we need to understand and dissect the character of Arjun. You know, we may feel that Arjun is like any one of us. But I'm sorry, that's not the case. We face so many situations in life. Have God ever come himself to give us knowledge? No. You must think why. I have been saying in the podcast many times that God is all pervading. And all pervading means what? Everywhere means what? When I say everywhere, that means God is not just within me. I am in God. We are all moving because of Him. Even an atheist is functioning in this world because of that God. That pervading means what? And remember one thing. When we pray wholeheartedly, the prayer, before even it reaches our companion or the next person, it has reached God already. That is what is meant by all-pervading. But even though he is all-pervading, do we really feel him? Why? Why? How is it possible that in such a busy war field, when the conches have been blown, When the war has been announced, armies standing ready to shoot each other in front of each other, here comes an Arjuna who is gone. He is completely deluded. He could have been shot any moment. Any moment, because the conches have been blown on both sides. And I've read that in the first chapter already, when they, you know, described the conches which have been blown by each side. But how a war announced and armies standing in front of each other, everything is done, everybody knew that the war is going to happen. Here Arjuna gets deluded and Bhagwan turns around the whole situation and gives the whole Bhagavad Gita, 700 verses to him, right in the middle of the war field. How many situations we face in life. People do come to help, I'm not saying they don't, but they are all temporary help. They are doing that job of a band-aid. You know, when you stick a band-aid, it's not going to do any healing, but it will protect you from, you know, worsening the whole condition. They do that after a while, when wound is healed, we just take it off. Everybody's doing that job, but has there been anybody who has come into our life and given a holistic view of our life and given a permanent solution? Arjuna, I'm not giving you a solution to just fight the war. I'm giving you a solution that if you have understood it well, you will not have to fight war in your life and come to me afterwards. I am preparing you in such a way that you are self-sufficient to manage your life. That is what spirituality is all about. So Arjun as a character, the first thing I keep announcing in my podcast is that, you know, even if you are able to understand Bhagavad Gita or not, that's another thing. But we must understand the character of Arjun and in this life at least try to become like him. He got Bhagavad Gita in the midst of such a huge army standing in front of each other. But when we see Arjun is why we don't compare Arjun with one of us here. See, some of the aspects which we talk about Arjun is extremely talented, one of the best in his times. There was no archer in comparison to him also. He's the best. He has won many wars, not only in this world, but many different worlds. He's gone and fought for Indra and won war over there also, in Swargaloka also. That's how he got Gandhi and other things. Recognized by such a thing that divine people, deities also recognize him. We may get recognized in our company, by our boss, by our parents, by our surroundings. But do we have such recognition that he's become not even a global figure? He is a figure of multi-cosmos. He's recognized throughout like that. If such a person who is so extremely talented, not even a single failure in his life, never has got been defeated in a war, has managed through his entire time of vanvas and everything so boldly and so diligently, and has won through everything, if such a person can face setback in his real life situation, how far are we? That is the relevance of Bhagavad Gita today. When we do engineering, when we do medicine, when we, you know, come to that level and we think that we are extremely talented, now nobody can defeat us, don't worry, situation is waiting for you to test you out. Why? In this cosmos, except God, nobody is invincible. Trust me, nobody can assure that I will win through my life ever. All of us come through these kind of situations. So Arjun, such a talented personality, such credited with so many wars he has won. And remember one thing, before Vanvas, he defeated the whole Kaurav army, including Bhishma Pitama, in just one shot of an arrow. That's called, you know, Moha Bhedi Ban, he says. And he shot one arrow and all of them became unconscious. And he took the cattle of the Virat kingdom and gave it back. He had won the war that time itself. Arjun alone was sufficient to win the war. But that's how we feel. But we don't see one facet of his life. If you dissect Arjun's life, you will see one thing which we miss out in his life is that he always had Lord Krishna with him. And he has been playing with Lord Krishna since childhood. When it comes to 11th chapter, the Vishwarup Darshan Yoga, when he says, Bhagwan, I have never understood who you were. I made fun of you so many times, but you are so great that me, a simple jiva, a simple human being, making fun of you and, you know, making all these things, you are so powerful, you never showed me your power ever at all. And, you know, remember one thing, Pandav were there in Vanvas for 12 long years. Bhagwan was with them at that time also. We must think why Bhagwan was them there with them during their Vanvas also, the Pandavas, but why he did not give Bhagavad Gita at that time? Pandavas were free. They had no kingdom to rule. They had no fight to fight. They were completely free. And Bhagwan used to be a visiting faculty for them. He used to keep visiting them, going back, because he can't stay with them. Vanvas is theirs, he's not his. But remember, he always used to go to them, bless them, and had managed through many situations of Pandavas while they were in Vanvas also. There are many things I can point out here. Once Durvasa Maharshi reached there, and he was sent by Kauravas. Duryodhan said, there are Pandavas there. I heard they are very good to their guests. Why don't you go and eat a feast there? So, you know, Durvasa Maharshi should have thought, they are sitting in forest. How will they give a feast and serve me? But Durvasa Maharshi, he was pepped up in such a way, he went with a whole, you know, group of sannyasis, and he went there, he went to, you know, Pandavas and said, listen, we'll go and take a bath and come. We all want to eat at your place here. All want to eat means there are 300 plus people standing there. We all want to eat at your place. We heard that you are very good cook. Why don't you just prepare? We'll just take a bath and come. Now Draupadi is stuck. She used to have something called an Akshay Patra. And if you know about that, Akshay Patra's concept was this. Bhagwan gave a blessing to Draupadi and said, I'll give you an Akshay Patra. But the only condition is, the moment you eat, it will stop giving you meal for that particular time of the day. So Draupadi has already eaten. So she said, I'm stuck now. These 300 people and Durvasa Maharshi is known for his anger and curse. So she said, how will I serve them? We are bound to get cursed now. And that is what actually Kauravas wanted. And without invitation, Bhagwan Krishna reached there. God knows how. You see, the beauty of Lord, he reached there. He went and asked Draupadi that you seemed worried. What happened to you? Said, Bhagwan, you reached at such a good time. And he did not ask the situation first. He said, Draupadi, I'm feeling very hungry. He said, you also. I've already been, you know, asked to prepare for 300 people. What am I going to do now? So she said, Bhagwan, I'm sorry. The Akshay Patra you gave, I've already eaten. It's not going to give me any meal now. I have to, you know, serve these 300 sadhus who are standing outside. Plus now you also want food. Bhagwan said, show me the Akshay Patra. And there was one grain of rice in the Akshay Patra. Bhagwan said, don't worry, this much is enough to fulfill my hunger. Bhagwan ate that. Nobody knew what happened. Durvasa Maharshi and those 300 rishis, while bathing itself, they all felt that they are full. Now they got worried, if we go to Draupadi and she serves and we have no space left in our tummy to eat, we all will get cursed ourselves. They went after, you know, taking the dip, they went from there only, from outside only they went off. Draupadi asked, you know, Bhagwan, what is going to happen now? He said, don't worry, nobody is going to come. So Draupadi said, what are you saying? They just told me that they have gone to take a bath and they are going to come and you are saying nobody is going to come. You don't worry, they will not come. None of them came. And you know, these small incidents, Bhagwan showed it to Pandavas, but in these incidents also, Pandavas did not understand Bhagwan as Bhagwan. The beauty you see, God being God, with those people, he never showed them, do you know who I am? In these days, somebody may say, you know, if they get caught at traffic light or something, and if somebody is a, you know, big shot or something, said, do you know who I am? One phone call I'll do, you will know who I am. You see here, Lord of entire cosmos, with Pandavas, stayed so many days with them in and out and all, he never even told them who really he is. Why? God doesn't need to show us who he is. Whether we realize God or not, he is still going to be the Lord of this creation, and nothing goes wrong for him, even if we realize or not. Things go wrong for us if we don't know him. Why? Remember one thing: if this can be faced, these situations can be faced by Arjun, we are no exception. Your education, your family support, your things around you can lead you up to a level. Nobody is permanent. No support system is permanent. There is only one thing in this creation which is permanent, and that is God. The whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to train you from where you are, not train you to the level where Bhagavad Gita wants you to reach. That's not the level. Vedanta is always taught student by student differently. How? It always starts from the level where you are. Your level is your start. Vedanta may say a million things. All the people listening podcast also, reading Bhagavad Gita also, you go back and ask them, what did you understand? You will hear many summaries. Because everybody's summaries is according to their level where they are. So remember, Bhagavad Gita actually prepares us to lift us from the level where we are and place us at the place where we can understand this creation, this world in its correct form and manner. The world we see and perceive and understand today is only 1/1,000,000th of the actual portion of this world. I'll use one statement here. There is a suktam in Veda called Purusha Suktam. Sahasra Shirsha Purusha, Sahasraksha Sahasrapat, Sabhumim Vishvato Vritva, Padasya Tishthat Gulam. Yes, it goes like that. So they say, by 1/4 of God, 1/4 of God, all, not only I'm talking about this cosmos, all the cosmos present here are made by 1/4 of God. 3/4 of God, Tripadasya Amritam Divi, 3/4 of God, nobody can know. It's unmanifest, it's unknown. Through this, and remember, that 3/4 of God, nobody can know. In the middle of war field, Arjun requests Bhagwan, I heard such beautiful things from you. Now please tell me who you really are. I've understood this much, that you are not the one who I see. You are not the one who I have known for so many years, you know, in born and, you know, my mother's brother and all those things. I have understood you that way. But that's not what you really are. In the middle of war field, in the 11th chapter, he requests Bhagwan, Bhagwan, show me who you really are. On request of him, Bhagwan suddenly shows Vishrup Darshan of him. Vishrup Darshan, actually, when I'll come to the chapter, I'll explain you. It's a very wide topic to understand. Vishrup Darshan is how God is all pervading and how this cosmos is run by God. That is Vishrup Darshan. So, you know, when Arjun saw, he saw in from, he has got so many faces. From one face, people are coming out. In another part of him, people are going in, eaten by him. He got scared. What the hell is going on here? Bhagwan, this is not the form I understood. So he tells Bhagwan, Bhagwan, sorry, I am scared by seeing your form. Please come back to the Chaturbhuj form, which we popularly known as Narayana. The Chaturbhuj form, you know, if you go to Guruvayur, you go to Tirupati, that form is always there. That's the Saumya Roop of Bhagwan, that he's standing in, you know, four hand way with, you know, lotus, Sudarshan Chakra, Gada and Padma in one hand. And so he is standing that way, says, Bhagwan, please show me that form. This form I don't want to see. I can't understand also. Why? Because Arjun has not reached that level to understand Vishrup of Darshan of Bhagwan. Now remember, for that Arjun, if Bhagavad Gita can, you know, uplift him from his problem, from his delusion, and prepare him to come back and fight the war and be a winner and remain a winner in the rest of the life, don't you think Bhagavad Gita is like an amrit for us? You know, one thing I keep saying in my podcast, one disaster which has happened with India or Bharatvarsh as a country. Not I'll call Bharat only. Why should I call India? Bharat. One disaster which has happened with our country is because of the invasions which have happened here, because of those invasions, and their purpose was very simple. Convert Indian people from what they are. Their only aim was that. Whether it was Muslim rulers or whether it was Britishers, aim was only one, to convert them into the different faith altogether. The one disaster which happened is, they slowly, gradually removed our cultural education from our education system. Today, what is the sign we are educated? We have a degree and we have recognition. And I told you in one of the podcasts, Swami Shivananji is the, Swamiji who gave Diksha to Swami Chinmayananji. And remember, as a story, I want to just touch base on this point, from where it comes. Swami Chinmayananji was a freedom fighter, by the way, and he was very good at English. He was a journalist by profession. So when India became free, so Swamiji had fought for independence. He had been jailed also by Britishers in a couple of times. So when he came out, when the India became free, so Swamiji was told, Swamiji, celebrate, India has become free. So Swamiji said one thing, India has become free, not Indians. So he said, Swamiji said, there are many things in India which needs to be corrected. Now, as a journalist, I'll go to Rishikesh and I will expose the sadhus. Remember, not to become a sannyasi. He went to Rishikesh to expose sadhus. That there are a lot of, wrong things happening in Rishikesh. There are, all kind of things going on. I want to expose those sadhus. But you see how God works, because his previous life, he must have done and, had spiritual or vertical growth. He reached a sadhu called Swami Shivanand. Very good sadhu to reach. He reached Swami Shivananji and he went and asked Swamiji, Swamiji, I want an interview of yours. Swamiji was discussing something. Swamiji didn't give heed to him. So he was discussing something and talking to something. He said, Swamiji, I've been waiting for some time. Hey, Swami, use this word, the way any educated person says. Hey, Swami, I'm a busy, educated man. Why don't you just give me time? I want to have an interview of yours. Swamiji turned back and said, I am busy today, come tomorrow. And Swamiji turned back and started doing his work he was doing. So he said, Swami, I am an educated man. You are a free man, a sannyasi. Why don't you have time to give it to me? I am a busy person, you should give me a time. Swamiji said, just because you know how to read and write and you have a degree, barely makes you literate, not educated. Come tomorrow. And we have understood what? Just because we have degree and think we are educated. Actually, all these things without cultural education makes us more egoistic and more far from our actual self. To be honest, this is the problem which is happening today. Even if a sannyasi goes in front of us, we may not be able to give respect and ask a question also. Why? He's a, with torn clothes, ochre robe, standing there and all those things. I am more educated, more decently dressed up. What is decently dressed up? Coat, suit and pant. So I do not understand what happened to our whole system. From India, the cultural education got separated. But the disaster what happened when cultural education got separated is that we will know how to become a good engineer. We will know how to become a good doctor, good teacher, good technician or whatever, good software engineer, whichever way. But without knowing how to manage you, what good is this education for you? When situation comes in life, I come across so many cases, so many parents who come to me. My child was in MD of medicine. He was doing MD, committed suicide. Imagine, so worked so hard to clear NEET and other exams, did 4 years of MBBS. What transpired? What happened? Did your education system help you? No. Cultural education is going to help you actually manage yourself. Otherwise, this education will become redundant and useless after a point in time. This is why one point I'll definitely bring and highlight for the sannyas jagat. There are many, many people, many sannyasis I know who have been teaching in IITs and all, who have left everything and become a sannyasi. Why? Because there is no knowledge about this. Science knows creation to a level, but they cannot understand and grasp creation in its entirety. You have to come to this to understand creation. And remember, the subject of spirituality is three: Jeev, we all, Jagat, this world, and Ishwar, the God, the Creator. These are the three topics which are actually covered by Bhagavad Gita also and any part of spirituality. Why? Only when you know yourself, you will be able to move through ups and downs in life. One real life example I'll give you now. Many people have car, right? Many people have many vehicles. Why should I only say car? People have scooter also, they have, you know, bike also, they have four-wheeler also. Within four-wheeler also, some have Maruti, you know, now the 800 is not there, Alto or whichever way you call it. Some have BMW also. Now remember, even if you have a Maruti or a scooter or you have a BMW, the road is not going to change. What will change? Your journey will become comfortable. You know spirituality means what? Spirituality doesn't mean that the world is going to change. Don't read spirituality and start looking at people. I have read so much. My people have not changed. Now the thing is, people misunderstand that spirituality is to change people around you. Who told you that? Spirituality is not to change people around you. Spirituality is for you to change yourself so that you see the people around you correctly. You know, when people come to us, all walks of people come to us, you know, by God's grace, as I would use the word, there are 16,500 plus regular listeners of my podcast. And there are 48,000 followers following podcast, by the way. So I do not know, I never advertised anything, I do not know how it reached. Of them, so many people reached out and have contacted me with their personal thing. Now, when they call me, I ask them, why did you, you know, come to me to, you know, seek your advice for your problem? They said, we know one thing, when you speak and when we listen to you, we know that you know life better than us. I said, what is the certificate? Who gave me a certificate? Did I show you my certificate that I know life better than you? No. When you speak the details, you can see and hear from the aspects that definitely understanding of life is different than ours. That's how people come to us. When people come to us, now you see another problem. When they come to us, if we, you know, we do not know spirituality well and we have not established, we will get, you know, bogged down by the problems of people. You just see, it's a small mind. Will I keep spirituality or will I keep people's problem there? You know, you have to store something somewhere, right? So what we do in spirituality is, and what my gurus have taught us is that, we use in a system way, in a technological way. There is a thing called random access memory. You know, all technological people will know. There is something called hard disk. Right? You know, I can see people who know technology well nodding their head. You know, what does random access memory does? At the random access memory, a spiritual guru only keeps spirituality. Okay? But another thing which happens with a guru is that he is connected to the master computer. Master computer is what? God. Because he is connected to God, he doesn't have to save every information in his local HDD. What he does, he solves the problem without keeping in his hard disk, he moves on. Why? Whatever problem he solves, because he is connected to the supercomputer, it is saved there. When that person comes back to Guru again, Guru only recalls it from the supercomputer and solves the problem. That's why when you speak to him, how does he remember my problem? He don't remember your problem. He's only connected to the supercomputer well. This is how a guru functions. Why? Otherwise, this world is so huge and filled with so many problems. Will we keep spirituality or will we keep people's problem and, you know, other things? We don't keep anything anywhere. We only keep this small book called Bhagavad Gita and its content. And with this, what it does, it gives us a seamless connection to that supercomputer. Because our connection is, you know, connect to the supercomputer. What happens if you are on a network? Sometimes we can't access network due to network issues. Network issues are what? Our local issues. You know, my hard disk is down, my mood is not good, I am feeling very low today, I am feeling, these are all network issues. He doesn't have any network issue. Why? Because he always keeps updated and upgraded with this. This is his software upgrade. And I use this in podcast somewhere. This is actually the software upgrade for our system, so that our system becomes clean and runs correctly, so it gives us the performance what it's supposed to give to us. That is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Arjun also had the same problem. He had all the data, he had all the caliber, he had everything. But suddenly his network issue gave him in such a way that he collapsed and sat down on the poor wall field. Somebody asked me the question in the group only, that Bhagavad Gita has got 700 verses. How, you know, it takes so much time for us to read and listen and understand. How did, you know, war stop for such period or what? I said, reading Bhagavad Gita takes only 2 hours. 2.5 hours, if we as a normal people. At those days, Bhagavad Gita, Sanskrit was the language. So they only spoke, conversed among themselves, and Arjun understood everything. 1.5, 1 hour, 45 minutes, the conversation is over. The war can stop for that much of time for Arjun to recover and come back and, you know, come to that level. That is the point I want to make from this Bhagavad Gita, that it's your software upgrade for you to function correctly in this life and move through this life without of much problem. Now, you know, a sannyasi and mahatma may seem outside that he doesn't have things, but remember one thing, he has bought a private jet on his, of his own. What is the private jet? We may have to make effort to meditate. And in, you know, 15-20 minutes of meditation, we may get an output of 5-10 minutes of meditation. But he just sits in his private jet and he just takes off from the world away. Because his private jet is always ready for him. See, that's the power of, you know, a sannyasi and how, you know, Bhagavad Gita takes up to that level. So remember, the same Swami Chinmayananji who went to Swami Shivananji to expose Swami Shivananji, at the end of the interview, goes back to Swami Shivananji and asks, Swamiji, please ordain me into sannyas. Swamiji looked at him twice. He said, are you the same person who came to expose me? He said, wait, you won't get sannyas so easily. Just spend some time, understand if this is your real quest, then come to me and take sannyas. 1 year later, Swami Shivananji ordained, you know, Swami Chinmayananji, and he is the one who gave the name Swami Chinmayananda. And he said, the practical part of spirituality you have learned from me. Now you have to gain knowledge of scripture. For that, I send you to another guru who sits in Uttarkashi, and his name was Swami Tapovanji Maharaj. And I mentioned in my last announcement of upload that it is Swami Tapovanji's Jayanti also. Now remember, in those days, there were no vehicles to go. And you know, Uttarkashi from Rishikesh takes 8, 8.5, 9 hours to 10 hours by bus. Swami Chinmayananji walked there up to Uttarkashi through the jungles. He took 4 days to reach there, 4 or 5 days to reach there. Once he reached there, he went to Swami Tapovanji and said, Swamiji had gone for, you know, taking dip in the Ganges. He waited there. Swamiji came back. He said, Swamiji. Said, yes. Said, Swamiji, I have been sent by Swami Shivananji to learn scriptures under you. So Swami Shivananji turned back. Swami Tapovanji turned back and asked him, where is the letter? Has he given any letter? So he said, no, Swamiji. He has not given any letter. Go back and get the letter. Swamiji said, you know, I have already walked 4 days, hungry, without much food, all the way up. Now I have to go back and get the letter. He didn't question. He went all the way down to Rishikesh again, went to Swami Shivananji. Swami Shivananji was noting down somewhere. So he looked at Swami Chinmayananji and made fun of him. Chinmay, studied and mastered scriptures already. So he said, Gurudev, what are you talking? You went, send me there, he's asked me for a letter from you. Oh, letter, give me a, you know, my letterhead. He, without, you know, regretting, I'm sorry that you have to go all that. Nothing he asked. He just wrote down a letter and gave it to him. So Swami, you know, Swamiji looked at Swami Shivananji and said, when you knew that this letter is to be given and he needs a letter, why didn't you give me earlier? So Swami Shivananji used one word which is very important for us. Swamiji said, Chinmay, the journey from belief to faith is very long. But the only one thing you need to remember during that journey is that have faith in your guru, have faith in your scriptures. You will see what you are not able to see today by just that faith and, you know, that point. So belief is a long journey to faith. Just because you start listening, you won't come to faith. You have to cross that journey. There are many tests you have to go through. So Swami Chinmayananji went back to Uttarkashi and he, you know, looked at Swami Tapovanji and said, Swamiji, you know, this is the letter he has given me. So I'm just keep it with you. Just start coming for the class from tomorrow. He didn't even see it. So, you know, the other students which were under Swami Tapovanji, they asked Swamiji, Swamiji, he was already seeming genuine. Why did you send him all the way back? Said, listen to me very carefully. What guru does to a teacher is only between the guru and the, you know, disciple. Said, you don't know. I knew that he is already a student, well prepared, and he will master scriptures, but it was utmost importance for him to go through this test. Now he will never turn back from this spirituality. And Swami Tapovanji started teaching in the next day. And Swami Tapovanji was such a guru, he gave a long list of instructions. And you know, Uttarkashi is a very cold place. Swamiji said, there are some rules of the class which you should remember. The first rule, what I teach you once, I expect you to grasp in the first class itself. Next class when you come, I'll ask you a question. If you do not know the answer, pack your bags and leave. Second point. Third point, he said, whatever is asked, at the right time ask me question, but don't intervene the class. Don't intervene from the class at all. Ask me question at the right time. And fourth thing, very critically important, continuously work on your sadhana. In this Bhagavad Gita, the reason I brought to this point is, Arjun heard Bhagavad Gita. Definitely yes. And after the war, Arjun forgot Bhagavad Gita also. Which I was speaking to, you know, Abhijit and Nisha at their home. He forgot Bhagavad Gita also. Why? Because there was some sadhana to be required for him to keep the Bhagavad Gita in his head. That sadhana happened when Bhagavan Krishna decided to disappear from the earth. Okay? At that time, Bhagavan gave him an instruction to, you know, Arjun, his disciple there. He said, go and tell Arjun that you have to go and save all the females from Dwarka, because 3 days after my leaving the earth, Dwarka will be submerged in the sea. So Arjun went, he thought Bhagavan has disappeared. That was a big shocker for him. When he went back to, you know, save those females, he was coming back at that point in time. He even forgot how to play, you know, how to use Gandiv. Highway robbers attacked him. They attacked all the females. They took away some females also. Arjun even could not use his bow and arrow. That is when Arjun realized, such a fool I am. I was thinking I fought through the whole Mahabharata. I am the one who drove through Gandiv and won through whole Mahabharata. I forgot it was only Bhagwan who made me do it. It's he only who's playing behind me. That's when he realized, he went and wept. That's when he wept, his sadhana got over, the whole Bhagavad Gita knowledge appeared in his mind and he went for realization. That's how Bhagavad Gita ends at the end. This is the gist of the, you know, how important Bhagavad Gita is for us. Remember one thing very clear, we are not human beings trying to do spirituality. We are spiritual beings in a human life trying to lead our life to reach the ultimate goal. One mistake which we do usually is that human beings trying to do spirituality. Spirituality is just one of the subject. No, spirituality is the subject. When, you know, I was working, I was talking to them at that time. They asked me the journey and all. When I was working in American Express at a very good position by God's grace, I had always this, you know, thing in my mind that I have received God's help at many places, but He's such beautiful that He never comes and shows me that He has helped me. Who is this, you know, who helps also every time, doesn't claim that He helped also, He never asks anything back also. Otherwise, somebody who helps us will always remind us that, you know, remember when you needed, I helped you. Don't forget that, okay? He or she will make sure that I don't never forget that. Or also ask us back. But Bhagwan is somebody who never asks anything back from us, continually helps us, just leaves us alone, whether we, you know, turn to Him or not. This is when I realized that, you know, there is somebody who's helping me. And then Bhagwan, when I wanted to know Him, He changed my whole journey in a very different way. And I tell everybody, whoever I meet, I actually speaking in my life have done nothing to gain spirituality and be here. I've done nothing to teach you all, to be honest with you. Actually, I'm not teaching you all. Bhagwan is only doing that. But I don't even deserve to become an instrument in His hand. But He is so great, I do not know how He chooses and how He works. His way is really unique. And I'm telling you, the more you come to know Him, the more you will realize there is nobody as beautiful as Him. Now coming to Bhagavad Gita, as an overview of the whole thing, this is what the journey of Arjun has been. Now you need to remember, Bhagavad Gita is split into three portions. It's 18 chapters are there. We split the 18 chapters in six, pair of six each. First six, even though first two I can remove, First chapter is Arjun Vishad Yoga, where Arjun is actually blabbering what he's going through in his situation. He is left, right and center talking without logic. But remember, Arjun is a knowledgeable man. And remember, he's a well-read person. He's read scriptures also well. So what Arjun is speaking, even though he's in a deluded state, he's speaking sense only. When we listen to him, we'll realize what he's talking is right only. So, you know, in that situation, Bhagwan, when he goes to Bhagwan, and because Bhagwan is his charioteer. Now, another thing I want to definitely point out, you know, there were five Pandavas. All of them were dear to Bhagwan. Why Bhagwan became the charioteer of only Arjun? He could have become charioteer. Yudhishthir was the senior most among the all of them. He should have become the charioteer of Yudhishthir. Why did he become charioteer of Arjun? That is only a physical episode. You need to understand the background behind it. Since childhood, Arjun has always been in love of Bhagwan. He had many friends. But he always used to consider Bhagwan as his best friend. So when he went to ask, in that time also, Bhagwan Krishna was, you know, artificially sleeping. He was not sleeping because, you know, usually if you know within you, there is a God within us who never sleeps. Even though Citibank has taken that advertisement, City never sleeps. But actually that advertisement doesn't suit them. That advertisement suits to Bhagwan only. There is somebody called God who is within me. Even when I fall asleep, He is the one who is awake all the time. When you put an alarm, if you are asleep, who heard your alarm? There are people who don't even hear their alarm. I'm not talking about them. You know, they keep snoozing or they do whatever. I'm not talking about them. But the point is, when you sleep, you've gone to sleep. You are in deep sleep and you don't even know that you've gone into the sleep. Who wakes you up when your alarm rings? There is somebody who is awake in you who listens, no? You have to catch a flight. Sometimes without alarm also people wake up. Who wakes you up? There is somebody awake. Remember one thing, when we see Ramayana, it is said that Lakshmanji, for the 14 years of Vanvas, Lakshmanji never slept. He was always in protection of Lord Rama. You know, there is a physical meaning of all these scriptures and itihas also. There is an internal meaning also. Actually, Lakshmanji is our prana. The breathe in and breathe out. Somebody was telling me meditation mein prana. Lakshmanji is our prana. He is actually avatar of Sheshnag on whom Bhagwan Narayan sits during his shayya. So Lakshmanji is our prana. Now just think for a moment, when you go to sleep, do your prana also goes to sleep? And if your prana goes to sleep, what will happen to you? Who will be there to wake up? Just imagine. And remember one thing, if I would have been managing my prana, would I be able to go to sleep? I'll be struggling. If I go to sleep, by chance this guy shuts up, then I'm done. What will I do the next day? I won't even wake up. I will always be running after trying to protect the prana. Remember this thing, prana is automatically functioning without our control. Who is controlling it? It's Narayan, the soul sitting within us. So you know, when you hear Ramayana, Mahabharata and all those things, there is a adhyatmic rahasya of it, there is a physical meaning, bhautik ek rahasya of it also. Many times people don't explain adhyatmic rahasya, so we don't understand. So Bhagwan knew that today Arjun and Duryodhan are going to come to me to ask. So Bhagwan just closed his eyes. And now you see how ego functions also. This also you should know. Duryodhan is very egoistic. He came, he saw Bhagwan is sleeping, he went and sat near the head of Bhagwan. Why? I will not sit at the leg, you know. Why will I be at the feet? I will sit at the head. He went and sat near the head of Bhagwan. Arjun, you know, always used to consider Bhagwan as friend also, but he always used to knew that, you know, Bhagwan is higher than me. He came, Duryodhan was already there at that time. He went and straight away went and, you know, sat near the feet of Bhagwan. Now when you wake up, you don't see what's next to your head. You always wake up straight, no? So Bhagwan also woke up and saw Arjun first. And there the, you know, fight started. Bhagwan said, Arjun, what happened? Why did you come? So Duryodhan said, excuse me, I am also sitting here. I came first before even he came. So Bhagwan said, listen to me, Duryodhan, I don't know who came first. Now there is nobody else to decide apart from you two. And I know if I ask Arjun, Arjun may say that you came first because he's very, you know, very straightforward that way. Bhagwan said, but I don't consider that. I saw Arjun first. So I will ask Arjun to ask the boon first. You see how Bhagwan does things. So he said, I will ask Arjun to ask the boon first. You will be asked second. Now remember two things. Before you ask boon, I'll tell you, you have two choices. Either you can get me to partake with you in war, to be part of your war, be on your side, or you get my Narayan Sena. Now remember, Narayan Sena, why? Narayan, he is Narayan, so his Sena is called Narayan Sena. Now Narayan Sena is a very powerful Sena. So Arjun looked at Bhagwan and he said, Bhagwan, you asked me to ask first. I have no doubt you. And you know, in that episode, Duryodhan laughed at Arjun. Pandavas are fools and will remain fools throughout their life. Are Bhagwan, without even, he said that I will not pick up any weapon during the war. Bhagwan without a weapon and Narayan Sena. Thank you, Arjun. Bhagwan, I only wanted Narayan Sena. I got it. Thank you very much. He got Narayan Sena. But he forgot. He's such a, you know, ego has blinded him so much. He forgot. Will Narayan Sena ever fight and kill Narayan? What a fool he is. Did not even understand the whole logic also. Yes, Narayan Sena by, you know, physical aspect went to him. He got the whole Sena, doesn't matter. But remember, when Bhagwan is there, who is required to fight with us? Arjun said, I have no doubt, Bhagwan, you. Even if you don't take any weapon, it doesn't matter to me. You just come. Since Arjun went and asked, Bhagwan said, amongst Pandavas, Arjun has got the, you know, first option. I will become his charioteer. He said, I'm not going to sit with you. Arjun, why don't I do one thing? I will become your charioteer. Imagine the Lord of whole cosmos becoming a charioteer for Arjun. So, you know, when I see this example, I had said in my last upload which I've done, there is one shlok, one verse in chapter 9, you know, verse 22, when Bhagwan says, Ananyas chintayantomam yejana paryupasate, tesham nityabhyuktanam yoga kshemam aham vahami. I carry their yoga and kshema behind them. Arjun is a classic example of that.
You see, Lord of whole cosmos, who with one touch can give anything, tells Arjun, don't worry, I will, in today's world, he said, I'll become your driver. Charioteer is driver only at that time. He decided to become a driver for Arjun. Can you imagine? He took up that role and boldly he did that. But you see the whole thing. Now Arjun's chariot is the first chariot amongst the Pandavas because Bhagwan is there. Now just think, if Bhagwan is in the front, who can defeat that army where Bhagwan is sitting in the front? Can you defeat them? By look at Bhagwan only, everything is won already. So you know, there is one episode which comes in Mahabharata where this episode of Barbari comes, who became Khatu Shyamji. He, when somebody went and asked him, Khatu Shyamji, they went to Khatu Shyamji, the whole Pandavas, and asked him, please, you have seen the whole Mahabharata war. Explain me what transpired. Who defeated who? So, you know, in physical aspect, you would know in Mahabharata, all the Kauravas were killed by Bhim. All 100 of them. If you know from Mahabharata, all 100 Kauravas were killed by Bhim. So the question comes, what did Arjun do? The whole army was controlled by Arjun because they had such a huge army. Bhim took the responsibility of killing all Kauravas, all 100 of them, because he had taken vow also, Dushasan and you know other people. So he only had to fulfill it. And Bhim is Bhim. So he killed all the Kauravas. Arjun stopped the entire army, including Karna and everyone else. So that was Arjun's role. So Arjun was very sure, you know, Khatu Shyamji will say that Arjun was the front of the war. So he went, he said, Arjun, you know, if you truly ask me who fought the Mahabharata battle, I'll tell you only one thing. There was only Bhagwan Krishna who was fighting the whole war. This is the truth of spirituality. This is the truth what Bhagavad Gita tells us from this scripture. This is where, if you know, I'm not saying, you know, become like Arjun, it's not an easy journey at all. At least start getting devoted to God and slowly, gradually you will feel what is his art of taking care of things. Now remember one more thing I want to definitely highlight about you know, Mahabharata war. It is said, somebody asked me this question also, outside the group also somebody asked me, you know, you say that this was a Dharma Yuddha and all those things, but there are many instances where Bhagwan Krishna also bypassed Dharma to make this war change. But that's a misunderstanding of yours. It's not correct. For till the time Kauravas killed Abhimanyu, Pandavas were doing a very, very fair war. Till the time they killed Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu was the first case of killing by cheating. They all surrounded Abhimanyu and all of those Yodhas, they thrashed and bashed him and killed him there. That's the first Adharma in Mahabharata war. When that Adharma happened, now remember, Abhimanyu is, you know, Bhagwan Krishna's sister's son also. You know, he's related to them. Plus, Abhimanyu got the art of fighting the Chakravyuh from Bhagwan only. Now, when that Adharma happened, Bhagwan said, these guys have crossed their limit. Now, nothing doing. They all have to be killed and this war have to be wrapped up in a limited period of time. Within 7-8 days, the whole war got wrapped up. That's when Bhishma also got killed first 10th day, no? That's when Abhimanyu got killed. I think 9th day Abhimanyu got killed. 10th day Bhishma Pitama. Then after that, Kaurav army start falling one after another. And Bhagwan very clearly, even though he did not pick up any Shastra, there one episode also comes with Bhishma Pitama. Bhishma Pitama was a very great devotee of Bhagwan. And you should know, in Mahabharata, Bhishma Pitama only gave Vishnu Sahasranam. Vishnu Sahasranam is given by Bhishma Pitama. That's why in the beginning of Vishnu Sahasranam, it comes Bhishma Uvacha. Because it was given by Bhishma Pitama. Bhishma Pitama said, Bhagwan, if you are Bhagwan, I am your devotee. You took a vow, now you will not take weapon. I will make sure that you will pick up a weapon. And he created such scenario that Bhagwan has to pick up one chakra, but only for a devotee Bhagwan did that. Broke his vow also. So if you understand Mahabharata that way, Remember, the whole war is centered around Bhagwan Krishna, not around Pandava and Kaurava. In the same way, even if we feel a little bit devotion towards God, trust me, He will make everything possible in your life to make sure that you feel Him more and more. That's the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. That's the purpose what Bhagavad Gita teaches us from. And I was telling you before I wrap up this session, before the next one, in Bhagavad Gita, it is split into three parts, which I was taking up at that time. First part, first chapter is just Arjun Vishad Yoga. Second chapter is basically an overview of what Bhagwan is going to cover in the whole of Bhagavad Gita. That is why it is called Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya means self-knowledge. It's the knowledge of self. And from third chapter onwards, Karma Yoga, then, you know, Jnana Karma Sanyas, it goes like that, Dhyana Yoga and all. So if from third chapter up to sixth chapter is the first portion of our Upanishad Mahavakya called Twampad. Twampad means who you are. How will you know yourself? That's the start of Karma Yoga onwards, third chapter onwards, up to sixth chapter, which is Dhyana Yoga. Remember, Dhyana meditation also. Why do people do meditation? Those people who do not have self-knowledge, there are many who do, Dhyana in their own time. Vipassana is also there. There are many things there. But remember, the purpose is only one. To know yourself, to be close to yourself, and to have the ability to manage yourself. That is what is taught from third chapter up to sixth chapter. From sixth onwards, what happens, we will see in the next session. Kayena vacha manaseendriyairva buddhya atmanava prakrite svabhavat karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai narayanaeti samarpayami shriman narayanaeti samarpayami om purnamadah purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vashishyate om shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om Om Tat Sat.